welcoming people in. I really appreciate there are people welcoming folks in, people that are so excited about reading, they read twice. It's great. It's pretty fantastic. And 9 years in May, pretty cool. I'm really grateful for that. I guess a little bit about me. I started real young. I had my first drink when I was three, and I got my first drunk when I was six. So I really had long. It took me until I was 46 to get sober, and now I'm 55. So it's kind of pretty. It's really kind of strange, but it's amazing that God spared me after all the wreckage I did to myself. I really messed myself up in a lot of ways. But you know what? I still went about it with half the zeal, like Dr. Bob says, and it never fails. Half the zeal that you've been in the habit of showing when you were getting another drink. This will never fail if you will give it that much willingness. And step three, I love step three because it's all about willingness. And in 12 and 12, it talks about the key of willingness. But in the big book, I really like that step three was really explanatory. And I was sober once between 2009 and 2010. And that's when my wife got sober. And but it, I didn't I got myself all the way through all my amends, and then I did really didn't understand steps 10, 11, and 12. And I had too much pride to call and ask my sponsor what to do. What do you do? Like, how does this work? I had to know everything, and I didn't want to admit that I didn't know. So nowadays, I think it's one of the best things you can do when you're working with another person is to say, "I don't know. Let me get back to you." And then I can call like my sponsor or one of my spiritual mentors, and get a real good answer, or I can go to the literature and do a little reading. I'm pretty good with the big book, but the 12 and 12, I'm still gaining ground in there. I enjoy it, and I think it's very useful. Especially because it talked about raising the bottom some. And there's something in the foreword there that says that the 12 steps are a set of principles, spiritual in nature, that when practiced as a way of life, can expel the obsession to drink and enable the sufferer to become happily and usefully whole. And I have found that to be true. And so, pretty much we can all grow and learn. It helps when we read those forewords. And we can learn a lot of stuff from the literature if we really start at the very beginning. And so that's my favorite part of this. And, let me see. Okay, so when I got like back with my sponsor, it was pretty crazy because I was out there again, and it took me 6 years to get back, because I was, too headstrong to say I didn't know. But when I finally did, it was my wife who suggested that I talk with a friend of ours in the program who's a therapist. And she spent every day for several, or every once every week for several months, listening to me bemoan and everything, and whine about my problems and things like that. And then eventually she asked me probably one of the most spiritual suggestions I've ever heard. She said, "Don't you think it's time you should call your sponsor?" So I'm going to say to all of you, don't you think it's time you should call your sponsor? And if you don't have one, like there's a few things that are important. We need a sobriety date, a big book, home group, and a sponsor. And if you don't have all those things, I heard from the very start of this, you can get them all right here, right now, today. I'm pretty sure if you just put messages in the chat, they will hook you up with whatever you need. So I thought that was pretty great about this meeting. At any rate, when we went back through the steps, we went through the book again, the big book, that is. And we've gone through a lot of books, my sponsor and I. And we still meet on most Fridays and are reading, books beyond that about AA history and different things. My sponsor's an archivist, so we are pretty good with that. But when we went through the book and read about step three, I thought it was so wonderful in the big book, the way they laid it out. So it talked on page 60 about being convinced. We were at step three, that three pertinent ideas were important to know, that we made it to step three. That's A, B, and C there. And A is step one, and B and C are both step two. So I just want to make sure you're ready to go to step three and to be willing to look at a power greater than yourself. And the greatest thing, one of the guys I work with, Greg, he came with me and he said one of the coolest things I've ever heard. He said, "Figure it out is not a step." So if you're at step two or step three, trying to figure out what's going to be this power greater than myself and how do I define it and all that, none of that stuff is a step. It's more about being willing to go through the rest of the steps to follow through. And so that's pretty cool. But then it tells me that I got to be convinced that a life run on self-will is going to hardly be a success. On that basis, I'm almost always in collision with something or somebody. So for me, I was constantly trying to control situations. And just in the same way, when I was drinking, I thought that my happiness, it was never in the drink I was drinking. It was in the next one, right? And so then I would get the next drink and it would be the drink I'm drinking. So it must still be in the next one. And it's a crazy idea. It's alkalogic. So it probably makes sense to some of the people here, but the same thing I did with the people around me. I thought if I could get all these people to do everything I wanted them to do, that was going to make me happy. And it's pretty crazy that I would believe that would make me happy, because I was really never happy. I was always pretty much angry and teed off. I was always looking for the negative and looking for a reason to be angry. And I don't know, it was pretty sad, because that was the biggest reason I wanted to come back here. I was so tired of being angry. So in the big book, It says some stuff about trying to arrange the light, the scenery, and the ballet, in my own way. But like I was more like I'm like an extra, the guy in a tree suit, and I'm like telling the main stars in the show, like in the play, like, here, why don't you come over here by the tree? You would look so much better. It would be more romantic over here. And hey, you running the lights, why don't you put a spotlight on them and it'll look like the moon shining? I'm in a tree suit. I don't know nothing about acting. I don't know nothing about where things look good and where they don't. And so it's the same thing. I'm trying to run the show. And pretty much, it's a very human thing that a lot of people do. I mean, it's not like we get sober and we don't notice that there are still people in our lives that, have issues like this. It tells about that, and it talks about that I can be gracious and trying to be nice. And the nice guy routine, if it doesn't work, then I'm probably going to be mean, egotistical, dishonest, those kind of traits. That, like it says on the other hand in the big book, but I'm always like, if that didn't work, because that's the truth. And the truth also is that I'm dishonest both ways, because even if I'm trying to be a nice guy, it's still a sham, it's still an act. So my dishonesty runs deep, and I still struggle with it sometimes. I still want to say the thing that's going to make everyone here so sober that they can't stand it. So I hope you all get very, very sober on the things that everyone comes here and says, rather than just me. And that's truthful. So on the it's that paragraph that I'm talking about ends with, as most humans who have varied traits. So they're talking about humans in that paragraph. They go to the next paragraph and it says that, like I'm going to be more demanding or gracious as the case may be. I don't give up. Even if it didn't work, I'm going to still keep trying to bash my way into you. And I have no respect for your rights as a human being and no respect for you as a person. And the greatest thing for you guys is that you don't have to do any of the stuff I ask you to. Generally, that's the way it happens. But I'm going to continue trying. And when it doesn't work, then I'm going to go and feel sorry for myself. I'm going to feel very, like that's really what I do, is I get angry about something just so I can put my thumb in my mouth and wallow in self-pity. I'm basically a thumb-sucking crybaby when I don't get my way. And it happens once in a while now, but it's just moments. I'm grateful for it. Just moments. And so the great part is that in that paragraph, it talks about me being in my very best moments, a producer of confusion rather than harmony. I'm gonna make everything like twisted up, and really, I make everyone around me sick. My whole family, everyone else, they learn that the only way they can deal with me is to try to do the same stuff back to me. And why they call it a family disease. that in many of the literatures
5 minutes,
I've looked at.
please.
Thank you. So, for me, I know that trying to do this isn't going to work so good. But it says in many, in the third step promises, it talks about if we're sincere about this stuff, how much different our life will change. It says that I can face life successfully. That's a big deal for me. You know, I could never do that. It says that, you know, if I keep on with this and follow through with the rest of the steps, you know, even in the 12 and 12, it says once the key of willingness is put in the door opens almost of its own, but it can always open wider. See, I didn't really understand step three completely. I didn't understand about, you know, all the stuff. I love Joe and Charlie because they, you know, like they are the ones that put the parts into there that I need to know that my will is just my thoughts. When I'm turning my will over to the care of a God, that's my thoughts. And when I turn my life over to the care of a God, of my understanding that's just my actions. My life is just the sum total of my action. So once I get into this and I really start working the steps, I'm staying sober by day, and add to weeks, months, and years, I start to learn a little bit more about step three. I never found God that way. My sponsor put it in the thing that if I just followed through with the rest of the steps, that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. He put that in step two. He wanted me to know that before even I got to step three. So step three is really can be the same thing. Remember, figure it out is not a step. Thanks, Greg. He's the guy, Greg H. You can see him. There he is. Yeah. Very, very interesting gentleman and a good friend that I love like a brother now. And, you know, is so grateful to everything he's done to help me. And so I go through the rest of the steps and, by the time I get to my amends again, God's got me. I don't have him. But I have to remember, though, I'm in the grip of a progressive illness and it's got me. I don't have it. So if I don't keep working, keep struggling up the hill, it's not gonna, you know, like I'll go back and it'll be have a grip on me again. And so I'm very grateful that, you know, I get to come, I get to share with people, I get to pray, I get to have a relationship with a God of my understanding. And I get to grow my spiritual self in step 11. I love the way you started with step 11 in this meeting. I got a friend, he said anyone who's done work step one can work any step that starts with one. That means we can start working step 10, 11, and 12. We can start being of service. We can start working towards that relationship with God. And we get to start behaving like gentle persons. And be kind to one another and ourselves. So I'm about out of here. I think that I really appreciate you guys. I love you. I'm glad you invited me. I do believe that using the St. Francis prayer and trying to comfort, understand, and love other people is more important than me. Thank you so much.